happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody had a good good time. We didn't travel this year. We were able to stay home and have Thanksgiving here with Carrie's family. They brother came from Chicago, so we had a nice quiet time at our house, and I hope that you had a good time as well. What are you thankful for? Throw out some ideas, some things that you're thankful for today. Since we're a smaller crowd today, we'd be more intimate today, so we'll give a little feedback. What are you thankful for? Your sister? You only have one. What else? Who else? For your family? That's the church answer, Pam. That's always... Yay! That's when people ask me what I'm going to preach on. I always say, well, God. Yeah, but besides that. But what else? What are you thankful for? Other Christ followers to meet with that you can encourage. It's, you don't know what kind of privilege that is to do that. We don't know how privileged we are to be able to gather without worrying about who's looking in our doors and watching us. What else are you thankful for?
Yes,
your health, absolutely. You think about that every time we get a cold or the flu, you think, man, I don't like this, and I can't wait to get back to normal. But just think of people that can't get back to normal and how that feels like. So, yes, we'll be grateful for our health. What else? Oh, go ahead, Sam.
Animals,
awesome. I like animals, too. They're delicious. No, I'm teasing. That's a great answer, Sam. That's a great answer. Which one do you like the best? Dogs, yeah, it's hard to beat dogs, isn't it? They're good folk. Good answer. Anybody else thankful for?
Warm house,
yes. 10 inches of snow tomorrow?
No.
No? Sounds like it, maybe. One more. What are you thankful for? Jobs? Is that what you said, Jim? See, I didn't write anything for my sermon. I'm trying to fill the time here, so. No. We're thankful. It's very important that we are thankful, because thankful is an expression of gratitude of the things that are happening in our life. And you have to have, as we'll end today, we'll talk about a quote about how important gratitude is. And so Thanksgiving comes around once a year, and we're reminded of that. It forces us to think about that and be thankful to be around people that encourage you and build you up. But the Bible talks about thankfulness as well. And today we're going to do a little grammar lesson. Now, here's a good question. How many of you like grammar? You do like grammar? How many don't like grammar? That's it. Me neither or neither, whatever that one. Neither or neither, whatever it is. I titled this one, Prepositions of Thanksgiving. Prepositions of Thanksgiving. There's some quotes, there's some verses in the Bible that... highlight Thanksgiving for us, and they're in prepositional phrases. A prepositional phrase modifies a noun or a verb while indicating various relationships between those words. The relationship between the subject and the verb. I know this is going to be mind-blowing, okay? But I like how they define it. It says they are used to color and inform sentences in a powerful way. And so when you study the Bible, it's important to look at grammar, and sometimes there's some, just a twist of a word can mean a lot, in even the word like in or into. Something similar to, those two words, they sound like they're the same, but when you're walking in a room, you're already in a room. But when you're walking into a room, you're walking from outside into somewhere else. That's a very big thing. So we're going to look at three prepositional phrases today that highlight and give color to Thanksgiving. Okay, and they're found in three different verses in our Bible. Some of them are from our readings from this week, and next week is in there. So the first preposition, that we are to thank God in everything. In everything. Get my verse up here. I left my verse paper back there. Hold on a second. Is it up there? Pass that. You want to click the verse? I gave her my sheet, so I'm going to need that back, by the way, Chris. So Be joyful always. Pray at all times and be thankful in all circumstances. Thank you very much. They were using that back there. In all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life, in union with Christ. Or some translation will say, this is God's will for you in life. To be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in life. To be joyful always, pray at all times, and be thankful. This is God's will for you in life. So many people forget to thank God in every situation of their lives. But most importantly, there's two important ones that I want us to think of today as we talk about being thankful in everything. It's to be thankful in our successes, but also to be thankful in our failures. Sometimes we'll look at success first. The first is that we should thank God in times of success, when things are going good. Sometimes we fail to give thanks to God when we're successful. Maybe it's with a certain task. Maybe it's resolving a problem. It might even be at business or at work or whatever it might be. It's easy to say that things, when things are going great, that we did it. And when things are going bad, that they did it. And so it's important for us to develop this gratitude attitude when things are going good in our life. If we believe that God is active in our daily lives, then we must acknowledge that He is active in our successes as well. Many successful people have acknowledged in their memoirs that whenever they came to an impasse in their work and were completely baffled, they sought wisdom from the Lord. This is an example from Samuel Morse, who invented the telegraph. Now, in an interview that he gave, the interviewer asked, "Professor Morse, were you ever, when you were making your experiments at the university, did you ever come to a standstill not knowing what to do next?" And then he responded, "I've never discussed this with anyone, so the public knows nothing about it. But now that you ask me, I'll tell you frankly, I prayed for more light." "And did God give you the wisdom and knowledge that you needed?" the questioner asked. "Yes, He did," Morris said. "And that's why I never felt I deserved the honors that came to me from America and Europe because of the invention associated with my name. I had made valuable application of the use of electrical power, but it was all through God's help. It wasn't because I was superior to other scientists. When the Lord wanted to bestow this gift on mankind, He had to use someone. And so I'm just grateful that He chose to reveal it to me." So isn't it interesting that when he invented it, well, you know what the first message in the telegraph was? Remember? Yeah. Well, they used Morse code. That's exactly right. No, that's right. You did good. Do you know what that first message that he typed out was? Somebody know? $50 if you know. "What God hath wrought." What God hath wrought. What God has made. So he gave thanks to God in his time of success. But we also need to give thanks to God in times of our failure as well. And you're going like, what? Why would we do that? You know, me of all people have failed in life in a variety of different ways. I always tell people I have two doctorates in mistakes, one in failures and one in mistakes, and I'm earning my third. But it's through those mistakes that the Lord teaches you life lessons. So you thank God for our failures. And it's not that we go out and fail on purpose to do things wrong. And no one goes out to fail and to hurt other people or make mistakes. But God takes those mistakes and turns them into something that we can use later in life. When we fail at something, we learn what not to do next time. And so it's valuable information, which might allow us to succeed. I remember hearing a story about the CEO of IBM many years ago, and someone had cost him $10 million. And they wondered if he fired him. He goes, "By all means, I'm not going to fire him. I just spent $10 million on his education." So they learn not what to do next time. When we fail, it helps us understand that only God is perfect and that we are not, and that therefore we need to trust in Him. And when we fail, we acknowledge our reliance in the One who always does right. So when we go through failures, it's important that we recognize those things that come our way and that we use them later on to learn from them. You know, there's a way that people can respond. You can either fail backwards or fail forwards. There's a book by John Maxwell called Failing Forward. It's a very, very good book about failure and what you do with it when you make mistakes in life. He talks about failing backward. You blame others. You repeat the same mistake. You expect never to fail again. You expect to continue to fail. You expect to never fail again, but then there's a thing that you do is you expect to continue to fail over and over again. You kind of go, "I'm just a failure. I'm just going to do this all continually, kind of continual basis." You accept tradition blindly. meaning that you don't try to change things in your life, or you're being limited by past mistakes. That's failing backward. But when you fail forward, what you do is you take responsibility for a mistake and you make changes. You do it differently, or you grow from that experience. You learn from each mistake. You know failure is part of progress, not part of rather. It is part of it. You're going to make mistakes. Every great company has made mistakes until they got it right. Every great manager, every great coach, every great player, every great whoever it is, all of us have learned from our mistakes and from our failures. It's just part of life. And the key is that we maintain positive attitudes to that. We challenge outdated assumptions. It forces us to kind of make changes in our life, or even change the things that are around us. It challenges us to take new risks. That's how you fail forward, and we should thank God for those failures. Now, again, you don't go out and do it on purpose, but when we do make mistakes, you got to reflect back on it, find out what we can learn from it, and then thank God that we have this opportunity to do something about that. That's thanking Him in everything, in our successes and in our failures. Now, the second prepositional phrase is that we should thank Him for everything. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. Always give thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything. So there's a couple things that I want to look at there. We need to give thanks for our blessings, and we also need to give thanks for our challenges in life. Nobody likes to go through those challenges, but God allows them to happen in our life, and they can be for our benefit, and so we can thank God for those as well. First, let's look at our blessings. There's a couple things that I think we're blessed with. We're blessed with financial security here. I'm still amazed. Grace, I went to say hi to Grace the other day. Grace, a part of our fellowship, and she works at the new Hy-Vee store, so I thought I wanted to go see what the big Hy-Vee was like out on the west side of town, and it's massive. And so I stopped in, poked my head in, and she works in the pharmacy out there. I said, Grace, wake up! And she woke up, and then she tried to con me into getting a flu shot. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But it was fun to surprise her and go say hi. Anyways, this store is massive. Massive. And every time I do that, I go into a store, I'm just so grateful for what we have. It's unbelievable what we have. Have you ever not been able to go get some milk or a loaf of bread at Quick Trip or something like that? And you see all that food that's in there. And I saw their fish section. They had this unbelievable fish section. And I wonder what people think when they come from other countries, when they first come to America, and what they think when we have all that abundance. You know, even the poorest of us have much. We have much. We have a lot. And we have access to that. You can eat a meal every day in Rochester, I know. Salvation Army provides it three times a day, and then there's places on the weekends that provide that. So even the poorest of us have a great... We have a lot, and we should be thankful for that and not take it for granted. Sometimes I use the word ashamed. It's not... Maybe it's embarrassed. That's a better word. Embarrassed by how much we have. And after you get done with Thanksgiving, you're embarrassed how much you throw away. But that's important for us to remember and not take it for granted. And it's important for us to be thankful for that. You know, we sponsor kids from Compassion International, and we promote that as a church fellowship as well, to encourage you to be a part of that. And I brought something here today. This is one way that we can give thanks for our financial security that we have, is to give back. You know, those that are sponsoring kids, you have an opportunity to give gifts to them during these holiday seasons, and you can pick up one of these gift catalogs where you send them money, and then they pick up the gift, and then they give it to the family or the person, individual, the child there, and that's a great thing to do, and I think that helps keep us humble, that we're helping somebody else that doesn't have so much like that we have, and so make sure you take advantage of that. They're on the table out there when you are leaving, and if you haven't sponsored a child, that's a great way to give thanks to God for what He's provided for us, is to give to somebody else. I'd love to have everybody in our congregation do that. It's a great way to support a mission, because money goes directly to them. So be thankful for our financial security. And I'm also very thankful for the blessings of religious security. Again, we're able to meet here. And you go into the Middle Eastern countries where they hunt down, hunt you down if you're gathering or if you're trying to evangelize. And there's some other countries, you know, the old communist countries was very hard. China, it was very hard. Now they've been opened up and the church is flourishing there. And There's two ways to look at our I call it religious security. I'm not talking about Calvinism. I'm talking about being free to worship God no matter what without somebody pointing a gun at us. There's a positive to that, is that we're able to do that. The negative is we can become apathetic, too, in our faith and kind of take it for granted, because the church thrives when there's persecution. And I'm sure that people thank God for persecution, because it makes the true follower come out and live their life and to live it loudly without worrying about the consequences as well. But I am grateful that I live in America, and I'm grateful that we have this ability that we can gather and worship without worrying about people around them. Those are the blessings. And there's lots of other blessings that I can think of that we could be thankful for. But be thankful for those blessings. Don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. Somebody mentioned hot, you know, a warm house. How easy, you know, just all we have to do is crank it up a little bit. And some people, how they have to, you know, gather wood. Even our old ancestors had to gather wood in order to keep warm during these time periods in life. So be thankful for our blessings, but also be thankful for our challenges as well. Again, some Christians find it easy to thank God while experiencing mountaintop experiences, but fail to thank God when traveling through the valleys of life, and that's hard to do. God allows testing and trial and temptation to expand our faith and take us deeper in his love. And I find it interesting that when my kids were afraid when they were little, that they would hang on to us for dear life because they needed to grab onto us, and that seemed to kind of take care of fear. And that's what we do in times of challenges. We grab onto God during those challenges, and it helps us resolve that fear in our life. You know, there's a great story about challenges that we have and how they can help us in life and be thankful for that. Corrie Ten Boom wrote The Hiding Place, and she was really popular back in the 60s and 70s. You younger people probably have never heard of her. She survived, her family, some part of her family survived the concentration camps back in World War II, and she used to go around and speak around the country, telling her about her experiences. And in her book, The Hiding Place, she relates an incident that taught her this principle of thanking God for challenges. She and her sister Betsy had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had seen. And upon entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded and flea-infested. Their scripture reading that morning in 1 Thessalonians, which is the verse I had reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted, and she finally succumbed. And during the months spent at that camp, they were surprised to find out how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without guard interference. And it was several months later that they learned that the guards didn't want to enter because of the fleas. So she was thankful for the challenge of fleas. Now, how many have fleas here? No, that's... Point is that when we go through trials, that sometimes God can use that for some really good things, some positive things, and so we should be grateful for that. If you're going through an illness, maybe it's that you've met some people. I know my cousin, when she was going through leukemia, they met some wonderful people that they were able to encourage as they were going through that very hard challenge in life. And she eventually succumbed to leukemia, but she was a Christ follower, and so she rejoices in her reward. But they'd say over and over again, the support that they received and the families that they met changed Greg's heart for a lifetime, her husband, just because of what they go through. And it changes your perspective in life as well. It makes you grateful. It makes you stronger. I wrote down a list of the benefits of adversity in our life. First, it creates resilience. It makes you tougher. And I think of my grandmother, who was 96 years old, she was a tough old coot. She was a smart lady, but she was tough. She had to scramble for food back in the Depression. They ate food out of their ditch. They ate dandelion greens. That was what they had for supper, if they could scrape some up, and some asparagus that they would find that was growing in the ditch. And she had survived tough. She saved up $3,000 in the bank. That was a lot of money back in the 20s and 30s. And she lost it all when the banks closed. She was saving up for her education. Lost it all when they closed the banks. But she was just tough. They were able to deal with hardships in a different way than I think sometimes that we were able to deal with it, because it was hard for them growing up. And I can still see her. As her father passed away from older age, he was in his 90s, my grandpa Schmoker was his name, Christian Schmoker. What a name. I like that name. And I can. She took me up. I was a little kid, and I would call him every day when I was about 3 or 4 years old on a thing called the telephone that you did this, and then it turned, and then it would go back, and it rang your number. It was really interesting. And so she walked me up to his casket and was telling me about death. That's how I first learned about a loved one passing away. And I can see the strength in her face. This is part of life. But you don't have to fear it. You face it with strength. And it was really remarkable. As a little kid, I can just see that in her eyes. That she was sad, but she was tough too. And I think you learn that through adversity, and that it gives us resilience. It helps us develop maturity. It provides greater opportunity sometimes if we're forced out of a situation, if you lose a job or if you financial crisis, whatever it might be. Sometimes adversity forces us to make a change, and that change can be for the better. It prompts innovation. You know, a lot of things that we have that people have discovered is because of something bad that happened, and so they wanted to solve a problem, or they wanted to better life in some way or another, and they went through challenges in order to get that. And it motivates you to change. So be thankful, not only for your blessings, but also for your challenges in life. And the third prepositional phrase is to be thankful with everything. Give thanks with everything. In Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, so with everything that you have. Three different things I think about that we can give thanks for. First is that we can give thanks with our time. You know, when you think of something that's very valuable, when you thank someone, you want to give them a gift, you want to give them something of value, that means a lot. Kings used to give land to people that he was grateful for. Sometimes they would even give their sons or daughters in marriage to maybe another king that they were grateful for. And you think about what's very valuable to us today, I think time is probably the most valuable that we have to give. Most of us are running around with such hectic lifestyles that we don't have enough to spend with our spouses and families and friends, let alone the Lord, and let alone your church. That's a sign that we're probably too busy, and most likely we are killing ourselves trying to maintain a hectic lifestyle. There's going to eventually, Richard Swanson wrote a book called Margin, and he's a doctor that studies the busyness of people, and he's also a mathematician. And mathematically, he says, we're going to crash someday with all this stuff that's coming out of us, the information overload that we have. You know, we have the big screen TV, and then you have a little laptop, and then you have an iPad, and then you have an iPod, and then you have a phone that you're always plugged into information. It's always coming into us. When is it going to stop? When are we going to get overloaded with stuff? In the same way with consumerism, those kinds of things, buy. Eventually, you run out of resources. And so there's going to be a point down where, and so he talks about building margin into your life, balance into your life. And that's with time, using time. And it's an intriguing thought. Maybe the church can be a part of that and help people balance their lives out, help them say no to things that they don't need in life. But anyways, giving time, thanking God with our time. You know, you think about how busy we are. We have less hours to work, but more channels to work with. We have more places to shop, more toys to play with, more websites to visit, more kids' activities to go to, more hobbies to be involved in. But in the process, we forget one important thing. Why are we doing those things? Most likely, it's just for some kind of personal benefit. And so it's one way that we can give thanks back to God is by giving him our time. Time in our Bible reading together, time in serving other people. Time and volunteering, whatever it might be, but time is key. Now, the second is that we can give thanks to God with our talents, too. And that's God's wired us in different ways, given us all abilities. There's abilities that I have that you don't have, and there's abilities that you have that I don't have. That's the beauty of the church. That's why he wants the church to be together, because it fills in the voids where somebody's weak, someone might be strong. But together, we can do unbelievable things in the name of the Lord. But that means you need to use those talents and gifts to be involved. You can't just sit back and enjoy it. Enjoy the peace and quiet. That's part of giving some time. But God's wired you to give your family and your church family a gift, and that's the gift of your talents, and to use that for His glory. And so don't forget to thank God for those things. Serving God with our talents and gifts is a way of saying thanks to Him for making me the way I am. Now I'm going to take this uniqueness and use it to bring glory to Him. Bringing glory to God is giving thanks to God. And so that's, He wired us. It's you're so excited to see your kids thrive and you know, if they go off to school and they go into college, they get a good job and they're doing well, and it just, you go, oh, that's so awesome. You know, you saw them and you know that they could do that. And I think God thinks the same way. I wired you this way. I wired you with this kind of talent, this kind of gift, and I want you to use it for my glory. I want you to use it to bring people into my kingdom. I want you to use it to make a difference in your community. But use it for that. And I think God gets excited about that when we do. And the other way is that we can thank God with our tithes. So our time, talent, and our tithes. You know, the offering time and giving is one of the most misunderstood times in the church's life. Non-Christian sees it as a ploy to steal away some hard-earned cash in order to waste it on some religious humbug kind of stuff. Some Christians see it as a time to vote on issues. I've had people in past churches withdraw their giving in order to get your attention so that you would change things for them. So they use it as a political vote. But God wanted you to give it with a grateful heart. Giving the Lord your tithes and offerings is a sacred act of worship. It's a way of expressing to God that you recognize that He is the provider of all things. And we humble ourselves and we honor Him when giving back what He has allowed us to use for our own personal needs. Giving our tithes and offerings are also a way to express that we believe in what God stands for in the world and what He has chosen, that He's chosen His church to be the vehicle of proclaiming God's good news. Therefore, we will gladly support the effort using the resources to further that kingdom. In both cases, God is honored through our tithes. And we give thanks when we give with a cheerful heart, thanking Him for providing for the provisions in our life and also for the mission in our life as well. But we don't think of giving as a way of saying thanks. But it is, thanking God for who He is and what He's done in our life. So those are just three prepositional phrases that we, God, give thanks in everything that we go through, for everything that we experience, and with everything we have. The mark of a true Christian is one who is not only obedient to Jesus, but one who is continually living a life that's filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. William Law, in a book he called, it's a book called Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, he writes this: "Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It's not he who gives most alms or is most eminent for temperance or chastity or justice." It's an old book. "But it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God willeth, who received everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it." It's an attitude of gratitude. That's, as he identifies, the mark of attrition, or a true follower, is somebody that appreciates what God has done, and we live our life in thankfulness to Him. I like 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 57. There is one more phrase that I wanted to use. In that passage, it talks about death. "And the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's another powerful, because all these things, we can't give thanks unless it's through Jesus. And if you go back into those verses that I read earlier, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, but it says, in union with Christ. And it says to give thanks for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says to give thanks with everything, or whatever you do, through Jesus Christ. The way that we live a life of gratitude is through Jesus Christ, what He has done for us in our life. And as we conclude our service in our time thinking about gratitude, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. Some churches call it the Eucharist, Thanksgiving. It's a way to be reminded of what He has done, because everything that we have comes through Jesus Christ. And that's so important for us to remember, that we honor Him with our lives. And as we reflect on Him and think about all that He has provided for us, it makes us humble. I am so grateful that I grew up in a family that loved the Lord. And I'm so grateful that my mom shared with me what it means to be a follower of Christ. I'm so grateful that they gave me space to build my own faith. So later on in life, when I took it as my own, it became my own. I'm so thankful that God used hard circumstances in our life and our family, losing our farm, to direct us to Rochester, Minnesota, to direct me to Minnesota Bible College. I'm so grateful for my friends and family, my close family groups that I met at that college through those circumstances. I'm so grateful because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And that, in response to that, I try to live my life by giving thanks to Him. And that's my challenge for you today. He's made a difference in your life. And how you live is the best thanksgiving expression that you can give back to Him for what He has done for you. So as we commune together, I want us to think about what Jesus has done and all the things that we have through Him. And let's give thanks for that precious gift. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Thanksgiving, that we're reminded that we need to pause and give You thanks for all that life has to offer through Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for the salvation that He provided on the cross for us, so that our sins might be wiped clean and that we can start over every time that we repent and go back to You. We're grateful for the hope of eternal life, that no matter what happens to us in this life, that we can endure, and that even if we succumb to the sting of death, it's no longer power over us because we have victory in Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for the circumstances that we find ourselves in, not because that they're fun, but that there's opportunities to learn and grow. And we're also grateful for all that You've provided for us, especially here in America, that we have so much, and help us not take that for granted. So Lord, we give thanks as we think about You now. And we pray that You change our hearts, our minds, and help us live with gratitude from this day forward. We pray this in Your name. Amen.